today we're looking at what it means to embrace and pursue life in the Spirit. As we continue this series, looking at becoming the church that God wants. Why is it so important? Because when we are pursuing life in the Spirit, we're going to be taking the right decisions for the right reasons, because we're going to be in tune with God and what He wants for us. Because after all, He knows what's best for us. As we just sung in that last song in our block, it's who He is. He is a good, good Father, and He loves us. And if you read the words that are coming, I don't know, I haven't actually said the notes that I prepared, but it was looking at our identity, because our identity is bound up in all of this, and our identity is as a child of God. If we're being led by the Spirit, we're embracing life by the Spirit, then, as I say, we'll be making those right decisions, but we'll also be able to see more of what God is wanting for us, both individually and corporately, because our mind will be focused on what it should be focused on, that is God. So essentially, the key to all of this is, where are our minds? Are they set on God, or are they set on things of the world? That reading from Romans is quite a long one. It's quite complicated when you really try and get to grips with it. And indeed, it could also be seen as perhaps the basis of the entirety of false theology. It's based all about the flesh or the spirit. Now, I could go into a whole discussion. Now, we could probably have a whole entire series on that, but I'm not going to do that today. But what we are going to look at is, are we setting our mind on things of the world, things of the flesh, or are we setting our mind on things of God and things of the Spirit? Because if we set our minds on things of the world, we're going to be going after our own goals and our own ambitions, and after all that the world tells us is good. If we set our mind on things of the world, our identity will be found in our work, it'll be found in our job, it'll be found in our possessions, our family situation. And when little things come along that disrupt that, it's very easy to be knocked off balance. We start feeling that life is falling apart and we feel lost. However, if our minds are set on the Spirit, to be able to embrace life in the Spirit, we start to have a different outlook on life. Because our identity is then found in Jesus, and then things of this world start to rock us, we can hold firm to that identity that we have in Jesus Christ. After all, we know that this life is going to be full of trials. We know that things are going to come along that will rock the boat. We know that things will come along that will make it difficult. But when that comes, and I say when, not if, because it will happen, if our identity is found in Jesus, then we will be able to weather those storms far better than if it's not. It's times like that when I wonder how people do life without Jesus. How people get through all the trials and tribulations that come without knowing the good, good Father, without knowing that their identity, or our identity, is a child of God. So when we start to look at things of God, we see things in a very different way. Because it puts things into perspective. Yesterday morning I was driving and a song came on. It was called Come Jesus Come by somebody called C.C. Winans, I think it is. And as I was listening to it, the words just struck a chord with me. It's all about what we've been saying. Come Jesus Come. And the line, we remember that this isn't our home. And when we have our mind set on things of God, we remember that actually this is just a temporary journey back to Him. Our identity is in Jesus. Now, of course, it's easy for me to stand here and say, our identity is in Jesus, don't look at things of the world. It's easy to say, but it's really hard to put into practice. But essentially, it's what we need to be striving after. Because our mind is a very powerful thing. For those of you who are here, we did the Freedom in Christ course. A large part of that course is spent exploring what our identity is. And the result, essentially the whole course in a sentence, the idea of sinful nature or the flesh is actually a really hard thing to understand in false theology. Because he's not just talking about our physical flesh. Even Tom Wright says it's problematic, so it would be nice if you could avoid this altogether. And if Tom Wright says that, then we're in good company if we don't understand it. But Paul is not trying to get us to think about the physical world in a normal sense. He's not saying that is inherently bad. When he uses the word flesh or the idea of flesh or the world, he's referring to the people or things in the world who make it, who corrupt it, and go away from God's teaching. So particularly in the Romans passage, the church he was speaking to, it's about the idea of rebellion of the world. It's the idea that those people who come and do things to corrupt God's order in the world is bad. But those of us that are Christians, that live according to God's principles, that care for creation, that look out for one another, that serve one another, that is good, even though that's done in the flesh. That's what Paul's getting at. It's the corruptibility and the mortality of the world that he's saying is bad. So flesh, if you haven't guessed it, in Paul's theology, perhaps in our theology, should be a negative thing. We need to remember as well, folks, at this stage, that Paul is speaking from a Jewish perspective. Now, the Jewish perspective holds that the created order, the physical world, is inherently good. And it is the corruption that he's facing that is bad. So when we're thinking this through, let's think in those terms. That we're not saying the world is a bad place. Although that could be interpreted in different ways. But it's the wrong use of the world that Paul is getting at. So the idea of living in accordance with the Spirit as opposed to the flesh is actually should be part of our daily Christian walk with Jesus. And in many ways, if we want to see how well is that going, this is the point of bringing the fruits of the Spirit. Are you exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit? Because that is really the marker if your mind is set on the flesh or if your mind is set on the Spirit. Are you practicing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc.? Because the means of the Spirit enable us to serve one another and become ministers of the pew, as our course has been teaching us. The flesh is focused solely on manipulating things in the world for our own gain, which becomes then corrupt. If we strive after things like materialism, self-gratification, earthly pleasures, now yes, they bring us instant gratification, but ultimately they will fall away, and ultimately pursuing those things will lead to death. But as Paul tells us, focus on the Spirit is to have life and peace. So pursuing and embracing the life of the Spirit does not mean that we will be free from troubles, but it helps us to have a different mindset when that trouble comes. In some ways, though, it will make our lives much harder. Because if we are pursuing life in the Spirit, there will be times that come when we have to stand against the prevailing cultural norms that prioritize fleshly desires. And actually, in many ways, that is one of the things that sets us apart from the world. Because Jesus was countercultural, we know that. The Gospels show that he attacked the worldly order because he was bringing in the kingdom of God. So it should be no surprise to us that when we're pursuing life in the Spirit, we too will have to do that. And that can take so many different forms. But we're not trying to do what the world wants us to do. We're doing what God wants us to do. So if we want to do that, friends, to be and pursue life in the Spirit, we need to take a spiritual checkup. Are we reading Scripture daily? Or do we open our Bible on a Sunday and then go back on the shelf and gather dust? Does your Bible look well used? I mean, this one's not too bad. Or does it look pristine? Because if it looks pristine, you're not using it enough. Unless, of course, you're using a phone and the Bible app, which I've got to confess, that's what I do. How is your prayer life? Are you praying enough? Are you praying in all things? Are you praying constantly through the power of the Holy Spirit, as Paul tells us to do? Or is there work to be done on our spiritual lives? And I want to encourage you, if you're not there, and I would imagine that actually none of us are really in that place, if we're truly honest with ourselves and with the Lord. But when we start to pursue life in the Spirit like that, it becomes transformative. Because our actions become different and it alters have a new heart and a new perspective, and our priorities shift from being self-centered to God-centered, from the temporary of this world to the eternal of our heavenly home. It becomes evident in our relationships, our choices, and in many ways our inner peace, because we are less reliant on how we're feeling and what is defining us in that moment, because we are defined by being children of God, by being loved by a good, good Father. Now, I can recognize in myself when I'm slipping back into that mindset of the flesh instead of focusing on the Spirit. Because I start to become engrossed in what I'm doing, I start to want people to realize that I'm busy. Why? I start to want people to think, oh, well, that's good because Tim's there, he's doing that, and that. And when I start to want people to think, I start to ask myself, hang on a minute. I've slipped back into that mindset of the flesh. And friends, this is a daily battle for me. I want to be completely honest with you, it's a daily battle for me. Yet when I'm focused on the Spirit and the mind of the Spirit, I'm becoming more engrossed in the things of the Lord and what He is wanting me to do. And then, without no disrespect, I don't care what you think about me or what I'm doing. Because it shouldn't matter. And it shouldn't matter for you. Because what matters is what God is thinking. And what God is thinking about you, He's thinking, this is my child, whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. How often do you hear the Lord say that to you? This is my child, whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. If you've not heard it before, well, ask God to tell you how much He loves you. That's why we sung and declared it. I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Three times. Because that is our identity. Because we are loved by Jesus. We are loved by the Father. And we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Now taking this path, it does mean you have to take tough decisions. You can't be arrogant about it and sit on the fence when stuff comes. Which we're very good at. Particularly in Britain. It means that when those tough things come, you have to take a stance. One way or the other. Because otherwise, nothing's going to work out. That's the mind of the flesh. Well, if I go this way, what are people going to think about me? If I go that way, what are people going to think about me? But actually, what it means is, God, what do you want me to do? Okay, we are going this way. Amen. That is what God is saying to us. When we're pursuing life in the Spirit, we will be confident of our decisions, confident of our choices, because we are walking in the power of the Spirit, day in, day out. That's what I think the church needs to be. That is the church that God wants. He wants a church that is full of people who have their mind set on the Holy Spirit and pursuing life by the Spirit, taking the right godly decisions, not taking decisions that gratify the flesh, because they are things that will corrupt and will fall away, but things that make a difference, an eternal difference. The last week, when I was in London, I shared some of the testimonies from that day, but I didn't tell you the whole story. Because when I got to the train station in Luton, I realized my train was running late. And I thought, okay, I'm going to miss the start of the meeting that I'm going to. Now, I could easily have got annoyed, which, let's be fair, is what I usually do. But it wouldn't have got me anywhere. Because if I had got annoyed about the situation, what difference would it have made? It wouldn't have made the train come any quicker. It was stuck behind the freight train. Or at least that was the excuse National Rail used. But I could have got annoyed about it, but it wouldn't have made any difference. So instead, I thought, hang on, I'm not going to get annoyed about this. And I've got some worship music on, but I'm going to focus on you, God, in this moment. And I did. And I had worship music playing on my headphones, and I became totally engrossed in what God was saying to me. So much so that I think I might have actually been singing aloud because I had a few weird books. But it didn't stop there, because then I got on the train, I was all ready to read my book, and I thought, great, a half an hour. Peace and quiet, no disrespect to man or children. But I thought, I've got peace and quiet, I can read some of the book, I can see what God wants to say to this, but God said, no. God said, no, I don't want you to do that. Because God wanted to speak to me in a powerful way. And I even had text waiting to happen because I was listening to a song and suddenly I was looking out the window and I started seeing things differently. I started seeing things the way God wanted me to see them. I became much more aware of the spiritual battle that is going on in this world. And I started to sense God saying to me, this is the heart I have. I have a heart for the people of the United Kingdom. I want you to come back to me.
people don't know me. Because the church has failed at spreading the good news. The church has failed at bringing in the kingdom of God.
I was weeping on the train. So much so, I think people were then even thinking, okay, this guy's now Syrian, and I was crying on the train. What on earth? You know, the courage and empty, my goodness. But there was a real sense that God was saying, look, guys, the time is now. I want you to become the church that I am asking you to be by pursuing life in the Spirit, by seeing things that I see. Because when you can see the things that I see, we will start to be a church that is effective for God once again. We will no longer be a stagnant church where nothing is happening. We will start to see things of the Holy Spirit happen when we gather. We will start to see things happen of the Holy Spirit when we're out in society, in your community. Maybe you say to me, can I pray for you? You will see a healing. Maybe it will be you don't know what happened when you say you'll pray, but it's a mustard seed. And maybe 5 years later they come back and go, do you know what? I remember 5 years ago somebody came out of that church and they prayed for me. And who knows, 5 years, one day later, I walk through those doors and say, I want to know what it is that you know. That is the church that God wants. God doesn't want a church that is not active. God wants a church full of people that are not just gathering for 90 minutes on a Sunday morning. Woohoo! And count how many minutes are out in a week. But I know there's a lot more than that. We come to church, friends, to be filled by the Spirit, to gather with our family, to be sent out to make a difference out there. What happens here is not the be-all and end-all. It's what happens out there. It's the transformation that we will bring to our community. It's when the church starts to change the community. The churches then start to see what people start to see what's going on. And the church starts to be alive once again. Because we are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. So when you leave today, perhaps don't just walk out and think, oh, that was a great service, or that was a bit of a rubbish sermon. Go out there and go, okay, God, what are you going to show me on my way home? I probably have the shortest journey back home. But believe you me, from that door to that door, God can show me stuff. From this door to your door, God can show you stuff. Open your eyes and ask God to reveal to you what it is that He wants you to see. It may be then you'll get a nudge to talk to somebody. It may be you'll get a nudge to pick up the phone and speak to somebody you've not spoken to for ages. It may be you get a verse into your head and you have got to go and read that. You get home and you read that verse and wow! That is the church that God wants, and that is why it is so important that we have our mind set on the Spirit and not on the flesh. Another story for this, just this last week, I had another potential health scare. I was incredibly anxious and worked up by it all. And I ended up having to go to the hospital yesterday morning to have a scan just to check everything was okay. And when I got to the hospital, all I wanted to do was to drive the car out of that car park and go, well, I shouldn't say that, and go, forget this. I'm going to go and park somewhere, have a cup of coffee, go home in a few hours and tell them, yeah, it was all fine. That's what the flesh inside me wanted to do. But when I sat in that car, I knew I couldn't actually, because we share our Google location with each other, so I was like, she's checking up on me. She'll see that the house is in hospital and not hospital. That was the initial thought I had. But then I thought, no, that's the wrong way of looking at this. So I played the song Breakthrough, which you might remember we shared. It was a powerful song from Amanda when Hannah was born. I belted it out in the hospital car park. Again, people were looking at me, trying to see a pattern, aren't you? As I was singing and praising God in the car, and belting out breaking, and I got out of the power of the Spirit. I thought, no, I'm going to go and do this, and I'm going to get through this, because God is with me. Now, that's not, you know, fortunately everything's fine. But that's not a downplay. I know a lot of people here have their own health issues and concerns. I'm not trying to say that God worked miraculously for me, but it is that sense of how we approach in those things. That's one example from my life. When things come that test us, that try us, that we're really going to struggle with, are you going to think in terms of the flesh, you know, how on earth am I going to get through this? Or are you going to give God praise and the glory so that He will see you through? Because it's all too easy to forget that little bit. So it all comes down to where is our mind? Is it set on the flesh or the Spirit? Because if our mind is set on the Spirit, when it comes to church, our attitudes to church can be totally different to coming to church with our minds set on the flesh. If we come in with a mindset of the flesh, it will all be about Christian is not just to attend church. It's not just to come to pass one or two of the extra activities we do. It is to pursue life in the Spirit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 or 366 days a year. It is not I leave it for a Sunday morning. It is a whole life. It encompasses our whole life. And when it encompasses our whole life, then we will be effective for God. When we're not just thinking, oh, I'll go and sing a nice few songs and listen to a talk and have a cup of coffee. When we're thinking, I'm going to go to church because I want to encounter the living God. Because I want to be effective in Him out in the marketplace, out on the front line. Then I believe God will set the church on fire. Because then we will be effective for God. Then we will see revival happen, which we're so desperate for. But as we said time and time again, if we want to see revival, it has to start with us. It has to begin with us. Why? Because we are children of God. We are the ones who can cry out, Abba, Father. We are the ones who have been saved. We are the ones who have the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that brought Jesus back to life. Yet how often do we remember that when we pray in the power of the Spirit? God, if you can you just do this? For goodness sake, of course He can. He brought His Son back to life out of the grave. He destroyed death. He destroyed sin. He had won the battle for